second New Testament lesson for today is taken from the book of Acts in chapter 1, starting at verse 15. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, together the crowd numbered about 120 persons, and said, "Friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit through David foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus, for he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in the ministry." So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day he was taken up from us, one of these must be a witness with us to his resurrection. So they proposed two. Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justice, and Matthias. Then they prayed and said, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. The Word of God. The Gospel today is taken from the book of John, chapter 17. It's a continuation of the prayer of Jesus, which took place after he had washed the feet of the apostles and before he was arrested. The passage is often called the farewell discourse or called the priestly prayer of Jesus. "I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now, they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you have sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost so that Scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As I have sent them into the world, as you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth." This is the word of God according to John's Gospel. Today's Gospel passage is dense. There's a lot packed into it. The author of John's Gospel wants to present to us the mind of Jesus and reflect on it. So often we want to get into the mind of another. We want to know what our loved ones are thinking. Our children, our spouses, our parents, co-workers, maybe even our bosses. The early church chose this gospel to be a part of the New Testament, for a significant part of it serves as a summary of Jesus' thoughts and prayers. This is an intense passage, And in it, we are brought into how Jesus prayed. And it gives us an insight into his relationship with his Father. The Gospel of John makes it very clear from the beginning that Jesus is the Word of God. For chapter 1, verse 1 states this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And in that same chapter, just at verse 14, we hear these words: "And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." So as the Word of God, Jesus during his life continually spoke of the kingdom of God. Because he lived the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, Jesus was the best witness of his Father. Jesus preached, but his best preaching was by how he lived. Jesus lived in a total presence of his Father, morning, noon, and night. We do so with our loved ones. Picture, if you will, the parents of a newborn infant. They are given a gift certificate for a meal and a movie, and so they go. And during the meal, mom sneaks away from the table to the ladies' room and uses her cell phone to call the sitter four times. While dad's at the table, he's texting the sitter four times. The baby's in their heart and their minds. They can't get the baby out of their consciousness. And that's the way it was with Jesus. Abba, his Father, was always there. Because of that loving, conscious presence of the Father with Jesus, Jesus wants to share that unity with us, have that identity shared with us. For it was in that identity, that unity, that Jesus healed, forgave, taught, died, and was resurrected. So when Jesus testifies to his Father in this prayer that he has made God's name known to all those he met, we realize that the breath of God remains alive in this world. I want to talk about the use of the word world in this passage because it's used in two different senses. First of all, it's used in the sense of the world as where we are. We are in the world. But it's also used in the sense as something different occasionally from the kingdom of God. There are many who interpret the world as evil based on this passage only in that one sense. And recently when I was visiting some people in Chicago, I heard someone say that the world is evil, and I totally disagree. I disagree with that singular interpretation, for Genesis tells us right from the very beginning that God created this world, and the created world is good. And Jesus was born into this created world, and he worked with us and lived with us and taught in this created world. And just as Jesus lived, worked, and preached in the many cities and villages of Israel, we work and we witness in Wauwatosa, Milwaukee, Waukesha, Franklin, Shorewood. We are in the world. We are part of and from the world, as Jesus prayed. In short, our world is good because God created it and because Jesus walked in it and redeemed it. Yet, because of our freedom, we can choose good or we can choose to sin. So, in one sense, we make our own world. Jesus realizes that the world we live in has both good and evil creates suffering. Jesus, as he walked among us, suffered many times in his life. People hated him for what he taught. Some people hated him for the miracles he performed and when he performed them, or because of the people he associated with, the people he ate with, because he raised Lazarus, because he attracted a lot of attention, because he cleared the money changers from the temple. Jesus, because he lived according to the will of his Father, rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. That's why when Jesus prayed to his Father, he recognized that he did not belong to that world. Jesus asserted that the world hates his followers because his followers do not belong to the world. So what is that world that Jesus is referring to? The world that Jesus refers to in that sense, that singular sense, is the world that hates the truth. The world that wants everything its own way. The world that is selfish. the world that is mean, cynical, a world which finds fault and looks for excuses, a world that forgets even the Ten Commandments, forgetting Sabbath, which is gifting some time each week to God, by greed, coveting the possessions of another, or going so far as to steal the possessions of another, by lust, coveting the spouse in another marriage. The goals of the world are different from the goals of Jesus, who brings us the Word of God, for He is the Word of God. Jesus tells us that people who seek the kingdom of God are those who seek God's will, which often means that they have to forego their own will. In other words, we as followers of Jesus often have to forego what we want. For God wants us to be better, to be nobler. In short, as Paul says in his epistles, to be saints. What we're asked to do is to take what God has given us and give it back to Him. And when you do that, the entire life we have is a life of worship. We become servants. We witness and we work to build up the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus knew of evil. When Jesus walked among us, He daily saw sin and evil in our world. And thus Jesus prayed in this prayer to His Father to protect us from the evil one, and that His Father guard us in God's holy name. There's always a dispute as to who or what an evil one is, or whether a satanic devil exists. But what is clear is that because of our freedom, we can sin. Therefore, Jesus implores His Father, as we did so this morning in the Lord's Prayer, that God deliver us from evil. Now, so far I have talked of Jesus, and He's the living Word of God, and how He lived in the total presence of His Father, and how Jesus asked us by prayer to protect us from evil. We can't lose sight of the fact that when Jesus prays, His Father hears Him, for Jesus is the Word of God. What Jesus wills must come about. Therefore, we expect that what Jesus hopes for in this prayer, that His will shall be fulfilled. There are three main points which I believe apply to us as we reflect on this passage from Jesus' prayer. The first point is this. Jesus shows His oneness with His Father. In this prayer, Jesus clearly states that He and the Father are one. And He asks that those who believe in Him be one as He and His Father are one. This oneness, this unity, means that Jesus identifies with His Father. And in unity, Jesus asks that we identify with Him. This is a unity of a relationship, a mutuality, a bonding. And this is what Jesus is praying for when we be one. Jesus prays that we have a common mind with Him and a common mind with each other, just as He and His Father have a common mind. And common mind is shown by a common purpose. And our unity is shown by a unity of mission, a covenant. So the first point is that Jesus wants us to identify with Himself as He identifies Himself with His Father. And how do we show that? We show that in our desire that His prayer come about when we live and work, that God's kingdom come and God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Once we make that prayer from our heart, then our heart and our mind and soul become the supreme act of identifying ourselves with the living God. My second point is that Jesus prays that we, His followers, be sanctified in truth. In His prayer, He confirms that His Father's word is truth. Truth is God's love shown by His care for us, often simply by the air we breathe, that constant level of oxygen, the truth that is God's creation, the beauty that we see in life around us, and the truth that is in Jesus. To be sanctified means that we consecrate ourselves as Jesus consecrated Himself to His Father. To be sanctified means that we dedicate ourselves as Jesus dedicated Himself to His Father. To be sanctified is to be holy, to be a saint, as Jesus was holy in the sight of His Father. and that, as the psalmist says, we bless God and ask God in prayer to bless us. To become holy is a lifelong process. Some of us still really, really try, day by day. And our families keep reminding us that we are not there yet. To be holy is to strive for a close relationship with God. The opposite of holy is to give in to the influences of sin, of evil. We grow in holiness in our attitudes, our thoughts, what we do, and often what we don't do. The self-test that we have of holiness is a continual day-to-day dedication to God of what we believe, what we think and say, and how we live. A witness to sanctification is Jesus himself. Jesus was pure in everything. Put another way, Jesus was not false. So God does not test us by our virtue, but he does test us by how we behave to those around us. Are we mean, cynical, selfish? Or do we follow the example of Jesus in how he behaved with those around him? Because he behaved well while those around him were mean and cynical and selfish. So the second point is based on Jesus' prayer that we be sanctified into truth, for God's word is truth. We show our desire that his prayer come about when we work at living a holy life, a consecrated life, a life where we consecrate our attitudes to God, and we dedicate our time to God no matter what we are doing, so that everything we do becomes a dedication to God. And as we bless those around us, as Jesus did. The third point which we can take from Jesus' prayer is joy. In verse 13, Jesus prays this: "But now I am coming to you, and I speak those things in the world so that those who believe in me may have my joy made complete in themselves." In his prayer, Jesus declares his joy. He had just washed the feet of his apostles and disciples. He had cleansed them. And he was preparing to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he knew he was going to suffer terribly. And he knew he was going to die by the horrible crucifixion. And yet in this prayer, Jesus declared his joy. Throughout his entire life, Jesus dedicated himself to his Father, and the result is that his Father blessed him in all that he did for us. Jesus was blessed in who he was and in what he did. By his prayer, Jesus shows his divine will that we be blessed also. Now, Jesus' blessing for us is that we be close to God, that we identify with God, that we work to be holy, and like Jesus, be sanctified. For Jesus was sanctified when he poured out his life for us, and we become sanctified when we pour out our life toward God and to neighbor. What we see in the gospel is that whatever happens in this world, we are able to share in the joy that Jesus has with his Father because of that unity and that identity. Jesus wants each one of us to be a joy-filled person, to take the light and the blessings which God has given us in this world. Jesus wants each of us to be elated, to know that a relationship with God is not only possible, but that we are invited to a close friendship relationship with our God, a deep friendship. So the third point is that Jesus prayed that we be a joy-filled people as he was a person filled with joy also. We show that we share in what Jesus prays for by our enjoyment of life, the life that we have in this world, the thrill of a sunset or sunrise, our pleasure in friendships, our peace at bedtime, our delight in children, the joy-filled wonder of creation, the beauty around us, and brats on this weekend. But most of all, by the ability to identify with Jesus, the Word made flesh. I'd like to close with a prayer which is taken from the psalm that we have today. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that our happiness be in our delight in the Lord. We pray that we be happy as we meditate on your divine law. May we be like trees planted by streams of water which yield fruit in your kingdom. We pray that in all that we do so in your name, that your kingdom come and prosper. Lord, protect us and watch over us so that we may enjoy, stand upright before you as we witness you in this world. Amen.